This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
You're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by Pastor Patrick E. Winfield of the Potter's House, Fort Worth. Pastor Winfield, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Walt. How are you today?
Hey, doing well, doing well. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day here in Memphis, Tennessee, and the Lord is doing some really great things.
Awesome. That's great to hear. That's great to hear.
Sir, yes, sir. Pastor Winfield, I know that you are deeply involved in ministry. You've been involved for a while now. I was wondering, how did you first become involved with ministry?
Oh, wow. Walt, I was about 19 years old. I had understood that God was calling me to be in ministry. I was still trying to understand how he wanted me to be in ministry. And through my development in my college years, my collegiate years, I was able to figure out that God was calling me to ministry and to first to youth ministry, because I developed a Bible study on the college campus of the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and from that, springboard into youth ministry, and then from youth ministry into executive admin of a ministry, and then from there to starting and planning a church in Las Vegas as a pastor, as a senior pastor, and then from there to be the campus pastor here at the Potter's House of Fort Worth. So it was a very interesting journey, but that's how I got in. I got in just by saying yes and allowing for God to kind of develop the desire and the passion to see other people impacted.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. I wanted to also ask you, because I know that you're, also heavily involved in education as well. When you got into ministry, did your involvement with education, did it have to take a back seat, or were you able to interweave that into what you do as well?
Oh, that is such a great question. I thought that when I got into ministry that education would have to take a back seat. So the first time that I came on to full-time ministry, I as a youth pastor, I left being a teacher and came on as a full-time youth pastor, and I thought that my time as a teacher had to take a back seat to ministry. By the time I got to Las Vegas, I understood that it did not have to take a back seat, that I was bivocational there, that I was both in education and I was a pastor at the same time. When I came over here to Dallas, I was the principal at Clay Academy, which was T.D. Jakes' private Christian school, and then to be asked to come over to be the pastor at the Potter's House of Fort Worth, I thought that I had to leave and back away from education in order to do it, but I found out that in the context that I'm in, that pastoring is really a filtering. Leadership, any kind of leadership, is really a filtering through your life of the things and the avenues and the different contexts that God has given you influence over, and education happens to be one of those. So from my current standpoint as a campus pastor, I am still able to impact schools in our community by setting up different leadership programs in those schools and using, if you will, the volunteers from our church to be able to staff those leadership programs. So in answer to your question, it didn't have to take a back seat once I found out how to make both of them work at the same time.
Very nice, very nice. What would you say is the biggest misconception about being a pastor and being involved in leadership? I know that from the outside looking in, from both people in the church and people out of the church, there are certain stigmas or, I guess, pressures that are put on the pastors to perform a certain way, to be a certain way, to believe or to think a certain way. But you yourself being a pastor, what would you say is like the biggest misconception that people have about pastoral work?
That it's all preaching and teaching. that it's all preaching and teaching. Pastoring is much more than just preaching and teaching. It is actually leading. And you have people who are great preachers and teachers, but they're bad leaders. And by the same token, you have people who are great leaders, but they're not very prolific in preaching and teaching. So pastoring is not just preaching and teaching. It is leading. It is learning the nuances of leadership. It's you understanding that leadership is about connectivity. It is not just you communicating to people. It's how you're communicating and how you're able to allow for a particular message to resonate in the hearts and the minds of the people that you're communicating with. It's you understanding the people. It's you understanding the environment that you're in. It's you understanding the culture that you're in. It's you understanding the problems and situations that people go through. And you being able to strategize about how to relay the gospel to them. I think one of the things that was great about Jesus is that he was able to take people from various backgrounds, none of them being religious backgrounds, and to make them into prolific preachers and teachers and leaders that was able to lead the church. And that's really what pastoring is all about. One of the things that you'll learn at the International Pastoral Leadership Conference, I know you're going to ask me about it, but it's one of the things that I love about the International Pastoral Leadership Conference. It takes people from different walks of life who are in current contexts of leadership and teaches them how to be better leaders and then infuses them with how to be better communicators as well. That's one of the things that you learn there. But that's one of the things that I would say is the misnomer about being the pastor. It's not all preaching and teaching. Majority of it is leading.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know that you're also a husband and a father, and a lot of people, you know, when they get into ministry, they don't really realize the amount of stress that, you know, it can put on them in terms of, you know, having to still play that role of husband, father, or, you know, wife, mother, and then, you know, the work that you're doing for the Lord. You yourself have done such a great job of balancing those things. What would you say is, like, the secret to, you know, doing well and just making sure that, you know, your family is intact, that you're doing for them, but that you're also not neglecting what God has called you to do?
Oh, well, these are some great questions.
Thank you.
Wow. The reason why I am the husband and the father that I am today is because I had made some mistakes yesterday. When I first came over, you know, many people don't know the, like, testimony behind us coming from Las Vegas to Dallas and what went on behind the scenes. The reality of it is that, well, I was failing.
Oh, wow.
I was bivocational. I was in education. I was an assistant principal, so I was doing a lot of training with teachers, a lot of mentoring of teachers, and a lot of, you know, behavior situations and suspensions and detentions, and I was setting that up, and I was coaching. And I was coaching my son at the same time. And I was pastoring as well. And my wife was taking care of the church administratively. I was doing the school thing. We had two younger babies at the same time. So she had the babies at the church, you know, taking care of the church while I was taking care of the school. I had the oldest boy at the school. And we were literally trying to juggle all of these particular plates. And the plate that was crashing was our relationship.
Jesus.
And one of the things that we decided to do and to become very intentional at doing is to work on our relationship. And so one of the reasons why I backed away from ministry is so that we can work on our relationship as a married couple and just become family. I didn't know how much I was missing it until she communicated it with me. And she didn't know how much she was missing it until I communicated it with her. So one of the things that we have learned because we have had, you know, those failures in the past is that we've got to become very intentional in our family relationships. So I like to say right now that, you know, my sons are getting a wiser father and a wiser mother that we're able to do ministry because we understand what it's like to not have adequate intentionality in building your relationship and keeping your relationship strong and making sure that the kids don't feel neglected because you're doing ministry, that we have constant conversations. I am constantly present with my family. If I am with you, I am with you. I turn the cell phone off. If I do get a text while I'm in the middle of a conversation with my kids, they know that they are the most important thing to me. And my wife as well. And for me to leave church and say, I'm not going to pastor anymore because, baby, I love you. It sent a great message to my wife that she will always be number one in my life.
That's
and, you know, that's, you know, right now that's how we do it. You know, we set intentional marks for our family. For our family time, for our family prayer time, we set intentional marks with, you know, what we do at ministry. And past a certain time, you know, we're at home. I talk to my admin all the time, and I say, I can't be out past 6 o'clock no more than 2 days out of a week.
Absolutely.
You know, that's my mission. So... So, you know, we set those particular markers, and I said I would say that we set those particular markers. That's how you become successful at balancing both. You've got to be very intentional about loving your family and being present in your family, while at the same time being very intentional about building your ministry. And those are – it's a toggle and it's a dance, and you never really learn how to do it because every time your children grow up, you are learning how to adjust to their growth. As much as you're learning how to adjust to one another, because you're growing up and you're developing as adults too. So,
absolutely.
Great intentionality and communication is important.
I think that is one of the biggest secrets to just a happy and successful marriage. Just based on what you just said, because I know that, you know, from a worldly standpoint, people, you know, have different opinions on, you know, what you should do to, you know, keep the marriage going. But I think those things that you listed really, really help to strengthen the marriage and to give it the longevity that, you know, that it needs. So,
Yes. It's very important. Very important.
It's very important.
As leaders, one of the things that you've got to be able to understand is that everything is changing around you. It's probably one of the main reasons why Bishop has named this year's International Pastors and Leadership Conference Leadership, because everything is changing around you. And to be able to acknowledge the changes, to know what the changes are, and then to be able to understand how to navigate the changes, both in your relationships as a family couple, as a family of leaders that, you know, that's trying to do church and ministry and business, and at the same time trying to do family affairs, all of those things become very important, and you just need somebody to help through those particular nuances. And you need opportunities, conferences, workshops that's going to inform your information, inform how you're doing it, and that you can do. Those are great principles and concepts that people are going to get from this International Pastoral Leadership Conference. That's why I'm so excited to talk about it, April the 27th to the 29th. It's going to be here in Dallas. We're excited about families coming from everywhere, leaders who are a part of families, to your question, coming from everywhere to be able to work on things that they need to do to be intentional, And, you know, so we're excited about it. We're excited about it, Walt.
Absolutely.
It's a great question, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I wanted to ask you now, what kinds of people are permitted to attend the International Pastors and Leaders Conference? Because I know it probably sounds like a weird or cliche question, but I've run into friends, you know, that are, you know, church attendees, but they're not serving right now, but they desire to serve. And is this conference for people that are at that level right now?
Yes, this conference is for any person who feels a call to leadership, period. It just so happens that, you know, pastors are going to be there who feel a call to leadership. Entrepreneurs are going to be there who feel a call to leadership. People from various career choices are going to be there, civic leaders, community leaders. Are going to be there. Some politicians are going to be there. It is an opportunity for any person who feels a call to leadership, who wants to grow in their leadership, to come. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity. So you don't necessarily have to be a senior leader, but to be a leader. Maybe you're leading in your own family as a father or as a mother. You're leading in your family. Maybe you're leading on your job or in your career choice. These principles are – leadership principles are transferable to any context. And so one of the things that I'm finding out to your question and even to your comment about your friend is that oftentimes people feel like they've got to be a certain leader in order to come to this a conference like International Pastors and Leaders, when that's not the case. If you have a heart to improve on your leadership ability, this conference is for you.
Very nice, very nice. And I know that you'll also be having sessions that will focus in on music, tech, marketing, and entrepreneurship. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, every conference is kind of built around not just giving encouragement and motivation, but also giving information. So the encouragement and the motivation of the general sessions are going to be held by our very own T.D. Jakes. Everybody knows about T.D. Jakes and how much of a prolific and profound communicator he is. But he is going to be speaking. Judah Smith, who is a senior pastor, lead pastor at the City of Church in Seattle, is going to be speaking. Dale Bronner, who's the bishop and founder and pastor of Word of Faith Family Worship Cathedral in Austell, Georgia, is going to be speaking. Daryl Hines of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Milwaukee, William Curtis of Mount Ararat Baptist Church in Pittsburgh. And all of these general session speakers are profound thinkers and profound leaders in their current context and outside. Some are both entrepreneurs and pastors, and so you'll get the wealth of their information, the wealth of the knowledge at those general sessions. But the breakout workshop sessions are going to be divided into different topics and areas in which you'll learn stuff about entrepreneurship. So people who are interested in finding and understanding either their brand or understanding how to brand themselves and understanding how to build business and to understand their leadership concept for their particular business, there are going to be sessions on that. So entrepreneurship, leadership development, marketing and branding, and music, people who are in music can have those workshops as well, or attend those workshops as well. There's going to be, in those workshops, information that is going to be given so that people can be helped in their current leadership context. So one of the things that's very important about the conference as a whole is you get world-class leadership that is going to encourage you at the general sessions, but you also get world-class coaching and leadership in those plenary sessions and workshops, and that is powerful.
It's very powerful. Yeah, that's very powerful. I also heard that you are doing something, a special symposium this year that will focus in on politics and faith and how the two kind of coincide, kind of merge with one another. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is. Once again, from the thought and the creativity of our leader, T.D. Jakes, he is a global thinker. And so one of the things that he has been wanting to do at these conferences is to build a global think tank that will talk about different issues that that we are all facing as leaders in the world today. And the think tank this year is going to center around politics and religion. Now, anybody that has been alive in the past 8 months or past year has come to understand how our political environment is clashing with our religious environment, and those two spheres of influence are clashing right now. And it gives us an opportunity as Christians to be able to come together and to really talk over our politics from the standpoint of our religion. Now, of course, it's called, you know, think tank on politics and religion. But the reality of it is that we all have in our brand of Christianity different ways that we are viewing politics that is unbeknownst to the other person who don't view politics in that way, and we argue over politics. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
We are all Christians. We all love Jesus, but we as Christians, we're arguing over our politics. So one of the things that we wanted to do at the Global Think Tank is to bring together our world, make Jesus the center, and to, instead of arguing about our politics, to understand our politics, to understand why we are thinking the way we are thinking concerning politics, and hopefully and prayerfully to walk away from the discussion as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So that's really what the Think Tank is all about. It's to bring together people to really think about the elephant that's in the room that we really don't talk about.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was going to ask you, you know, I know that, you know, we all serve the same God, and, you know, I guess opinions or beliefs differ from denomination to denomination. But do you think we as Christians have put up walls or barriers amongst ourselves and just, you know, we haven't realized it?
Yes, I do. I think one of the things that's really important is that while these walls have been set up, and the walls are created by our own cultural context, the context of our experiences will create the walls of our lives that we live behind. And the way the world is moving, and it's shifting and changing so fast, is that, you know, technology and social constructs that are coming up is calling for us to have to deal with those walls. And as Christians, to be able to discuss what those walls are, such as to bring them down, becomes very important. That's one of the key things that we get from this Pastors and Leadership Conference, this International Pastors and Leadership Conference. You have literally 23 countries that are represented from all over the world. You have people who are coming from different cultural contexts and backgrounds. You have people who are coming from different career contexts and backgrounds. And you have them emerging or submerging in the same area to be able to hear about the same God and to hear about how God wants to change us, to be able to go back and to change those particular contexts. Now, it is not the fact that we are the same that makes us special. It is the fact that we are different. And God is able to take the different functionalities of the organs of one body and to have them to be able to function together, such as to allow for the body to be healthy. Our problem as Christians is we haven't learned how to embrace the difference of each other so that we can live out the sameness of our mission and of our purpose, and that is to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted. And so that's one of the issues that we do face. But what I love about the International Pastors and Leadership Conference is that, you know, in those instances in which the Holy Spirit is moving upon everybody, there are people that are literally at the altar praying from different races, from different cultures, from different countries, from different political backgrounds and affiliations, from different religious backgrounds and affiliations. And that is so powerful to know that I can be different from you, but then serve the same God.
Absolutely. It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing. I encourage everybody who is listening to this to really be very intentional about coming to the International Pastors and Leadership Conference that's 8th of the 27th of the 29th here in Dallas, because I believe that there's going to be there for something for everybody. You'll get so much out of it, the connections that you'll make, the social interactions that's going to help you to understand a different world so that you can become a more well-rounded thinker and broader thinker versus being very monolithic and narrow-minded. And thinking becomes very important. That's what the International Pastors and Leadership Conference is all about, and I think people will be thoroughly enriched if they were to come.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Winfield, I know that change is an important factor in life, and a lot of people, they struggle with change. Embracing change is really hard for them. In your own opinion, do you feel that one can be an effective leader or an effective follower of Christ if they're unwilling to embrace change?
I don't think. Here's what I think. I really do believe that it does not matter how much experience you have if you're not willing to be relevant. And you can be doing something for 23 years, 25 years, 50 years, and lose your relevance. If you lose your relevance, then you're losing your influence. And leadership is about influence. If you want to be a world-changing leader, if you want to be a leader that's always on the bleeding edge of change and shifting, then it means that you've got to yourself learn how to change. You've got to be able to shift. And knowing how to shift and knowing when to shift is very important. I'm doing a session called Strategic Shifts, in which I'll be talking about in my session on how to build a strategy to be able to overcome the changes that's happening all around us, because it's not change that's killing our ministries, it's the lack of strategy. Change is going to happen with or without us, with or without our permissions, with or without our votes. Change is going to happen. The real question is whether or not you've developed a robust strategy for the change that's happening. And change is very disruptive. Technology is very disruptive, but we're living in a technological society. And so every system, every organization, every institution is changing. Whether we like it or not, it is changing. And it's very interesting and very important for us as leaders to be able to not just know the changes that are out there, but to develop relevant strategies for the changes that are happening, because things are shifting. I'm quite sure, and I'm not here to make it political, but I'm quite sure that a whole lot of people did not think that the election would go the way that it went.
Yep.
Right. Right. Ding, 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 ding. Wake up. There's a change.
That's true.
Now, you can fight about it. You can argue about it, whatever. I choose to study it. Because what it's saying to us on a deeper level is that there are changes that have happened around us, unbeknownst to us. And if we do not study the way things are changing and how people are changing and how people are changing in their thoughts and their concepts and their behaviors and their experiences, then we cannot build the adequate methodologies needed and necessary in order to impact people's lives. This is what the International Pastoral Leadership Conference this year is going to do. It's going to help us to strategize about the changes that's happening around us so that we can remain relevant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and relevance in this world is everything, because, you know, with millennial culture, it can be kind of hard to, you know, keep one's attention if you're not relevant. You know, if you're just doing the same things that you were doing 20 years ago, you're not going to make an impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Walt, there has never been this kind of work or employee base before. where you have three generations that are working in the same space.
Wow.
Three generations that are working in the same space. It used to be that, you know, the selling point was go to school, go to college. By the time you graduate, the older generation is going to retire, so there is going to be jobs there for you as soon as you graduate and get your degree. The reason why the jobs are not there is because there's a generation that is not retiring.
That's right.
So what do you do when you are promised a job with your degree, but a job is not vacant? Here is what you do. Create them.
Yeah.
That's entrepreneurship. You create them. In educational world right now, they are trying to figure out how do you educate a generation of people to go into jobs and career choices that may not exist. Because they don't right now. No one could have ever thought that Mark Zuckerberg could have made millions, close to billions now, on a concept that is a social technological phenomenon. Who would have thunk that? And he was going to an Ivy League college and did Ivy League university and did not finish.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there are people, young people right now who are creating apps. The age of a millionaire status, you don't have to be an older person in order to. You just got to be a viable, creative thinker. And we have creative, viable thinkers in their teenage years and in their 20s that's able to think outside the box to create for themselves what culture can't, and that is create jobs and create opportunities for themselves. This is a phenomenon that has never happened before. If it's happening in the world, then it's in our churches too. As pastors and leaders, you have three, almost four generations that's in your church, and all of them need the gospel on the level that they can get it on. So how can you appeal to four different generations instead of just appealing to yours?
Got to be versatile.
Younger pastors need to know that. Say again.
I said you've got to be very versatile and adaptable.
Absolutely. Younger pastors need to know how to appeal to older people in the older generation. You just can't just appeal to your generation. Older pastors need to know how to reach down and appeal to the younger generation. You just can't appeal to your generation because in a minute they're all going to die off.
I know.
We've got to have cross-cultural conversations. We've got to have cross-global conversations. And we have to have cross-generational conversations so that we can become relevant. It's a global world now. Global opportunities. 9 times out of 10, you could have somebody from a different world, from a different culture sitting in your church. Now, how do you deal with it?
I don't have a question.
You can't. I mean, it makes you think, right? You cannot present an American Jesus to people who are global.
That's right.
Which means that even the way that we present the gospel has got to change or got to shift so that we can handle the changes and the vicissitudes of life that people are going through. The International Pastors and Leadership Conference is going to help people to think through these particular shifts, these cultural shifts, these economic shifts, these technological shifts. There are things that you can do to remain relevant in your current leadership context. And so IPNL, or International Pastors Leadership Conference, April the 27th to the 29th, here in Dallas, is the place where you want to be because you're going to learn how to deal with those changes.
Amen, amen. Pastor Winfield, I just have two last questions. I think when you mentioned so much about just versatility and change and being able to be relevant, and I know that when Jesus walked the earth, you know, his message was something new and fresh, and not a lot of people really related to it too well. do you think if Jesus were alive and walking the earth today as flesh and blood, do you think he would be pleased with the state of the church?
Oh, wow. Getting in trouble. I think in many instances, he would say to the church, to some of the people in the church of some churches, he would say what he said to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and to the scribes, that you are whitewashed tombs. I think in certain instances he would say what the angel of the Lord said to John in the book of Revelation. You're great at your works, but you need to go back to your first love. To some churches he would say that. To some churches he would say that you haven't ministered to the poor enough. To some churches he would say that you got so hyped in the lights and the camera and the smoke screens and the music that you stop dealing with the hard issues that people are going through. You stop going to the jails. You stop feeding people that were hungry, and you stop clothing people who were naked. I think he would say to the people who have been doing, their social work in the context of their community, that you got so wrapped up in the feeding people and so wrapped up in the clothing people that you never presented the gospel of change and transformation, that they did not have to stay in the place that they were in, and you did not create a program for transformation. You created a program that's only helping people to stay in the state they're in. So I think that he would say different things to different churches, because I think we're all majoring on things that are great majors, but we haven't learned the art of working together so that we can hit all of the different points of ministry that we need to hit.
Absolutely, which is important. You know, I mean, it's easy to become, complacent or, comfortable, and sometimes we just need that refresher,
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to get. We're trying to help people to become circular and cyclical thinkers in a non-linear world, because our goals are linear. Our goals are linear. As churches, as leaders, our goals are linear. So we want to be able to help people to become well-rounded thinkers and well-rounded leaders in the world that we're in. People need to become social environmentalists so they can understand the environment that churches are in, that people are in, and to be able to adapt to those particular things. And I think Jesus did that very well. He did that just as well as anybody else. He was not linear at all. He went to the Samaritan woman when the culture did not go to people like that. He healed the Syrophoenician daughter when people were not even talking to them. He healed people, both Jew and Gentile, both children and women. He ministered to everybody and leaders, as well as people who were poor on the side of the road begging. So he was very 360-degree oriented, and the leader that is going to be relevant in this day and this time needs to become that kind of thinker, and they need to find themselves at the International Pastors and Leadership Conference.
Man, my last question, Pastor Winfield, is where can our listeners purchase tickets to the Pastors and Leaders Conference, and where can they find out more information about it?
Yeah, they can go to our website, pastorsandleaders.org, pastorsandleaders.org. And when they go to the website, they will find on that landing page all of the prices and packages for being a part of the conference. Listen, I know people are going to go. People are going to listen to this. They're going to go. They're going to see some of the pricing and all that stuff, and they're going to have to make a hard decision on whether or not their leadership and their future is worth investing in, because that's what it is. See, followers pay to come to conferences or not. Leaders invest. Ooh. And that's what it's all about. And that's what we do. We invest. And so when you go to the website, pastorsandleaders.org, pastorsandleaders.org, you'll get all the information there about how to register, about the pricing and about the packaging, and bring people, bring teams. We have people who are literally bringing teams of leaders. The church that I pastored in Las Vegas is bringing 40 people. 40 people, because they see the value of having themselves there and having the teams that they are serving there. So it's a wonderful opportunity for people to really be enriched. International Pastors Leadership Conference, April the 27th to the 29th. More information, they can go to pastorsandleaders.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor Winfield.
Thank you, Walt. This was really great. Great questions.
Thank you. I know, like, sometimes...
You didn't question my head. You hit me in my heart. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Awesome. Well, you have a good day, sir, and I look forward to meeting you on the 27th.
I do, too. I do as well. You have a good day, too.
You
and thank
as well.
You again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Guys, that was Pastor Patrick E. Winfield II. He is the pastor at the Potter's House in Fort Worth, Texas. We will put the link to his website in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an iOS device of any type, iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or just a, you know, iMac computer, you can download us, listen to our show and download us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You can hear this interview with Pastor Patrick Winfield. We're also available for Android users. If you have an Android of any type, you can listen to us by going to the Google Play Music Store. Go to the Google Play Music Store, search music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Pastor Winfield. Lastly, we are available on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to our show by simply going to the channel store on your Roku device and just download our app by downloading the by typing in the show name or our name, Witten Radio. And once you do, you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.